Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sandals Church. My name is Tim, and I'm the worship lead at our Sandals Church Eastvale campus.
And my name is Vivi. I'm one of our youth leads at our Hunter Park campus, and we are your hosts today. And so we just want to say thank you so much for joining us for this weekend service. And no matter where you're watching from, we are so glad you're here.
Sandals Church exists as a place for you to learn how to be real with yourself and with God and with others, especially as we're all experiencing church from home for these few weeks.
And you know, maybe you're watching on your own one of our live services, but we would love for you to hop on the chat right now so that you can connect with others.
Yeah, and if you're watching in your household, maybe you're all gathered around one TV or one device, please take a few minutes once the message wraps up to talk about it together.
And if you have kids, we have a whole service planned just for them at kids.sandalschurch.tv. And it's super easy. You can get them set up right now on a different device, or you can just have them wait until after service.
Yeah, we're gonna get started with a time of worship now. We wanna encourage you to sing along or just let these songs and the words be a comfort to you over the next few minutes.
And then we'll go right into this weekend's message with our lead pastor, Matt Brown, but we are so glad that you're here.
Wherever you're joining from, we invite you to sing out loud. We invite you to clap. It's going to be a good time of worship as we sing out loud the faithfulness of God.
Conquer the grave, you free every captive and break it. control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is the place where you promised to be. Not enough unless you.
Meet us right where we are. we worship you, meet us right in the place where you find us. In our fear, in our worry, in our panic or our distress, meet us in that place.
Thank you.
to invite you to engage with us in this moment, to lift your hands, extend them upwards, or place them out in front of you, and let us sing this blessing over you. Sing it over your health and over your family and over your loved ones. Receive this blessing from God, who is our Father and who loves us with an everlasting love, an unfailing love. That's how he loves us. Sing this with us.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around.
See you. Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us at Sandals Church on sandalschurch.tv. Super glad you're here. And I just want to say to all of our Sandals Church members, I miss you. I can't wait to gather together again. But I want to say hi to all of our visitors, man. We've had all kinds of people from all over the world who've been comforted by the ministry of Sandals Church. So thank you so much for those of you who contribute and give and help us do what we do. We love you and we want to welcome all of our guests. Today, I want to talk to you about how to react to a stressful time. Look, the reality is we're all reacting. Some of us are reacting positively, some of us are reacting negatively, but it's impossible to not react. And so I wanna look at, in this difficult time, I wanna look at one of the most difficult passages in the Bible to understand. It's a passage found in Luke 16:1. And Jesus tells this story to his disciples. And if you're a little confused, don't panic, so were the disciples. There was a certain rich man, you're like, great, that's not me. Okay, hold on. There was a certain rich man who had a manager, right? That's most of us. Most of us are not rich people, but we work for somebody who has more money than us or more authority than us or more power than us. It says one day there was a certain rich man who had a manager who was handling all of his affairs. Think about it. Life's great. Nothing could go wrong. My boss is rich. They got plenty of cash. Nothing can ever happen to me. Then one day, a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. Now, we don't know what happened, but there's a rumor. There's something going on. There's some chit-chat, right? There's some gossip, and it comes to the rich man's attention. And so the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." Now, think about that. A lot of us are worried about our jobs. We're worried about our financial stability. His boss says, "Hey, you're going to be fired, so you need to work for me and get things right because I have to deal with you." So think about that. He knows he's fired. He knows he doesn't have a job. Now the manager thought to himself, "Now what? What am I going to do that my boss has fired me? I don't have the strength to dig dishes. I don't have, you know, or I'm too proud to beg. I know what I'll do to ensure that I have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." And so he invited each person who owed him money to his employer to come across and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe my boss, my master?" The man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." And so the manager told him, "Take that bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. Now, how much do you owe my employer?" he asked the next man. He said, "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat." The manager said, "Take that bill and change it to 800 bushels of wheat." Check this out. This is one of the most bizarre texts in the Bible. It says the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And then Jesus says, "And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light." Jesus tells us this story because there are stressful things that happen to us, and there are stressful things that happen around us, and we need to learn how to respond. So in stressful times, Jesus wants me to, okay? And I don't know if you can write these notes down, but I want you to remember this. In stressful times, Jesus wants me to think creatively. Think creatively. The manager thought to himself, underline these words, "Now what? Now what?" Instead of doom and gloom, this is the end, we're all gonna die, you need to use your brain that God gave you and think creatively. He says, "My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig dishes." You know what he's saying? "I'm too old to go back to manual labor." Okay, that's where some of us are. Some of us are young enough that we could go do manual labor. We could go do something else. I love this next line, super authentic here. He says, "And I'm too proud to beg." Look, here's the reality. In your situation right now, your physical abilities are going to limit you and your pride is going to hold you back. So deal with your pride, acknowledge your limitations, and think creatively. Hebrews 10:24 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. One of the reasons we gather together as a church is to be creative. How can we do good things? How can we do better things? Now, I want to challenge you. Some of you are locked in home with your husband and your wife, and you're getting way more quality time than you signed up for. I want to challenge you right now. Don't be critical, be creative. Don't be critical, be creative, right? It's not the critical spirit that we listen to. It's the Holy Spirit. So don't be critical, be creative. You got kids getting on each other's nerves. She touched me, he touched me, right? And some of you, you know, your wives are like, social distancing. You're like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Don't be critical, be creative. I want to challenge you. Think creatively about a couple things. Number one, daily routines. Daily routines. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't go to the gym. That doesn't mean you can't exercise. Oh my gosh, my favorite cereal was out. That doesn't mean you can't have cereal. Look, I went to the cereal aisle. All the sugared cereals, gone, because apparently people are not worried about health in this crisis. All the cereals, the wheat cereals, you know, the cashew cereals, they're stocked. They got too many of those. People are like, no, I'd rather die than eat healthy cereal, right? Examine your daily routines. You might have to organize your kid's life. And let me tell you, they're not going to organize themselves. They're not going to come to you, Mom, Dad, we've decided from 8 to 9 p.m. we're going to be annoying. And then from 9 to 10 p.m. we're going to fight. And then from 10 to 11, we're going to really pester you and bother you. So what you have to do is you have to organize your daily routine. Some of you, you don't know what to do with yourself because for most of your life, every decision, every day is made for you. Now you have all this time, and because you haven't sat down and said, you know what, I'm going to be creative with this time, you're just scrolling through Netflix looking at shows that you've already seen twice. So examine your daily routines. Man, if you're a mom, let me tell you something. You don't need fast food. You got plenty of time. Make your kids. You have time to teach your kids how to cook, how to participate, how to actually wash a dish so that it's clean, right? Sit down with your family and figure out new routines, new ways of working together. Another thing is family time and chores. When are we going to be together? And when, amen, do we need to be apart? But we got to talk about, look, I got 20-year-olds that live in my house. We got a teenager that lives in my house. We have to have a talk about expectations. Like Tammy and I don't go to work. We're still going to work. And then it's not our job to come home and serve the 20-year-olds. Amen? It's our job to work together. And we all need to get in this together. The next is finances. Look, you're going to have to look at some things you don't need. What are some things you've been spending money on? Some of you have subscriptions to services you forgot about. You got time to actually look at your credit card statement, to look at your ATM statement and go, what am I actually spending my money on? So reevaluate your finances. We all got to admit, there's stuff we've been spending money on that was stupid. So cut that out, get rid of that. Next, some of you are worried about losing your job. Look, some of us are going to lose jobs, but there are other industries that are going to create jobs. Amazon is hiring 100,000 new employees. Think about that. Everybody's sitting at home. They don't know what to do. So they're ordering a bunch of stuff. Maybe that's what you need to do. And you're like, well, I've never worked at Amazon. Look, it's time to be creative. Next, think about, you know, maybe grocery stores. Think about home refinancing. Man, there are going to be more refinances than you ever thought or imagined. You're like, well, I never worked in the finance industry before. Look, we've never been in a pandemic before. It's an opportunity to be creative about what you could do. And let me just tell you, as somebody that hires people, I would much rather have a hard worker who's open to listening and learning than someone who knows what they know to do and is a pain. You know what I'm saying? And so there's going to be a lot of people that are willing to teach you if you'll just work hard and do a good job. So think about that. Don't throw your hands up in the air, but think creatively. He said, I can't dig ditches and I'm too proud. So I know what I'll do. I'm going to go and I'm going to find all the people that owe my master money and I'm going to cut their debts so that they'll take me in when I'm homeless and I'm kicked out. Next, we got to be creative about the way we think about church. Now, one of the things that I used to be criticized for all the time was how sandals is on screen. Sandals is on screen, and that's unbiblical, and that's ungodly. Well, guess what? Thank God we were creative. Thank God we thought out of the box. Because now there's a lot of churches that wish they would have done that. And let me just say this. Not every church is going to make it. Not every. I mean, you think it's hard for you to change? Let me tell you something. It's 1,000 times harder for a church to change. So be willing to think differently about your church community. Look, God is in control, and he has us in this season for this time. He's not surprised by this pandemic. He's not surprised by COVID-19. He knows exactly what was going to happen. And he knows that we don't need a building. What we need is each other and faith in him. And we need to gather around that and rally around that. Next, you need to think creatively about conflict. Look, let's be honest. The more time you spend together, the more conflict you're going to have. I can't even stand spending all day with myself. I drive myself crazy. Like, I get on my own nerves. And you're going to be stuck in a house with people. And let me just say this, man. I was on the phone with a pastor friend of mine yesterday from Ireland. And he just challenged us. He said, all you people in California, he says, you guys are all stuck in your homes for the next couple months. He's all in Ireland. We call that a vacation. He's like, you have swimming pools and sunshine. He says, we're stuck inside of stone houses and it's raining all day, every day. Like, they're going nuts. So thank God, those of you who live in California, we might get some sun here pretty quick. So be creative about conflict. Next, this is huge. Think creatively about space. Like, we can't hang out with each other all the time. I mean, social distancing, thank God, it's like, you know, from the president, sometimes we need that. And you just tell your kids, mommy loves you, but I need you to go to your room for like 6 hours. No, make sure they have food and clothing and you can't lock them in there forever or you'll be on the news. But it's okay to tell your kids, look, I love you so much, but I need to not be poked, touched, you know, passed gas on, right? I need not all of those things to happen for about 5 minutes. And so I'm going to put you in your room. And listen to me, it's not child abuse to put your kid in a room and say, I need you to be quiet and creative, like the pastor said, for an hour. Man, it might be the best moment of your life. And you just tell him, blame Pastor Matt. We all need a little space. But even husband and wives need space. I mean, I don't know about you, but Tammy and I, we don't like the same movies. We don't like to watch the same shows. And here's the truth is, I got to watch what she wants to watch because there's no sports, right? So she gets to win. So we got to figure that out together. Here's what I want you to know. Write this down. Desperation can lead to innovation. It can. And so this might be the opportunity where God gets you to finally change what you needed to change a long time ago. This might be the place where he gets you to look at something a little bit different. Here's what I'm hoping for. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you all know our healthcare should be better. Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that through this process, desperation is going to lead to innovation. One of the things that I was super excited to see is the president mandated that there's no longer laws between states in regards to healthcare. That's been one of the biggest problems we've had is each state has its own way of doing that. And he just nationalized it. If you're a doctor that's certified in this state, you can work in that state. And I'm really hopeful that they're going to figure out this is a better way to care for all of us. You see, desperation can lead to motivation. And so I'm hopeful for that. Next, Jesus wants me in stressful times to live wisely. Look at this text. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal. Now, he's not saying that's okay. We're going to get to that in a minute. He's not saying it's good that he was dishonest. What he's saying is it's good that a dishonest, immoral, unrighteous, non-God-fearing person, listen to this, was shrewd. You see, we don't use that word anymore. And oftentimes we think of it nowadays as always negative. But shrewdness is actually a command. Jesus says that we are to be as innocent as a dove and as shrewd as a snake. Do you know why a snake needs to be shrewd? Because it's got one chance to strike. And it's got to be very, very careful when it does that. So we got to be shrewd. Here's the way we should translate it. Wisely. You should live wisely. Now, when you look around, when you're at the grocery store, are people being wise? Like, there's no shortage of toilet paper. What are we doing? What are we doing? And I just got to say, if this is the end, dirty drawers are the least of my worries. Okay, I'm not going to be like, I can't meet Jesus today because I got dirty underwear. I don't care. I just want to meet Jesus. So just think about it. And by the way, most of the world doesn't use toilet paper. We're going to be okay. So be wise when you go to the grocery store. Some of you are just panicking and spending money that you're a little short on buying stuff you don't need. And some of it might rot. Like I was cracking up, man. So store shelves were empty, vegetable aisle full. People looked at broccoli, I'd rather die. I would rather die than eat broccoli. I'd rather have COVID-19 than eat broccoli. I'm not kidding you. I don't know what your grocery store was like, but my grocery store, if you were in the fresh food section, the actual real food, you would have thought there's no crisis at all. Like you go to the beer section, the Coke section, right? Empty. I watched people carrying out carts of Budweiser. They're not going to make this anymore. Yeah, they're going to make it. So you need to be wise. And eggs. What are you guys doing? Eggs last a long time. It's not the bird flu, okay? That's not what this is. Our chickens are fine. Our chickens are going to keep laying eggs. Don't panic. Don't panic. And maybe hand a roll of toilet paper to somebody and say, Jesus loves you. Here's a roll of toilet paper, right? So be careful, the Bible says, how you live. Underline this next. Don't live like a fool. And if you're a millennial, a college student, listen to me. You got to be wise. What is going on with college students in Florida? We don't care if we get COVID-19. You will if you get it. Man, and it wasn't a good moment, but I'm like, you know what we need to do? Maybe we need to collect all those spring breakers. And I got an idea. Let's put them on a cruise ship. And just, you know what? You're in the Lord's hands, right? And I know we can't do that, and that's terrible. And you're all going to send emails. But it was a sinful thought this week. I'm just saying. You got to be wise. You got to be wise. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Now, some of you, you're going to be foolish because you're stubborn. You're going to be stubborn. And let me just say this. I hope and pray that what the president has done, what our governors have done, is an overreaction. We need to all pray that's what it is. But what if it's not? You better just sit back and think about it. And let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you believe that one day you're going to stand before God and be judged. A lot of people think that's a joke. You know it's not. So we don't know how this is going to end. So what we need to do is we need to be wise. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. That is a command. You don't have this verse in your notes, but the next verse is making the best use of your time. Are you doing that? I'm not saying you can't watch any Netflix, but I'm saying if that's your whole day, if video games are your whole day, have you made the best use of your time? Look, these days are evil. These days are evil. And we need to make sure that we continue to do what's right and good. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, here's the problem. Jesus says that the people of the world are shrewder than the people of the light. You know what that means? This is Jesus, your Jesus, the Jesus that loved you, the Jesus that died for you. Hold on, because I'm going to preach to you, right? You need to hear this. This is Jesus, and what he's saying is people who don't believe in him sometimes are smarter than the people who do. And you know why that is? Because we say dumb things as Christians. Well, God is in control. Yeah, he is. But what has he placed you in charge of?
Huh?
Jesus, take the wheel, not if you're driving. You want to be on an airplane and the pilot comes on, he says, I've just let Jesus take the wheel. Like, I love Jesus, but I want you to fly, buddy. I want you to do that. So God's in control, but your decisions matter. Your decisions matter. And so we got to have faith, but we got to be wise. We got to be wise. So God's in control, but what does he put you in charge of? Some of you are saying, Jesus, take the wheel, but he wants you to drive the car you've been given. Proverbs 19:3 says this, people ruin their lives. People do. By their own foolishness, and then they're angry at God. You see, you have to make wise decisions, especially, Paul says, in this evil time. We got to be careful. Colossians 4:5 says this, live wisely among those who are not believers. Listen to me. If you go to Sandals, please don't say stupid things to people who don't know God. Can I just tell you, when you say to someone who doesn't have a personal relationship with God, God is in control, that makes no sense. That is not helpful in any way. They're scared to death. They're scared to death. You need to provide comfort for them. You need to listen to them, and you can give hope to them. But don't just say blanket statements that don't make any sense. Try to live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. So if you have an opportunity to share it with somebody, then do it. I would say this. Instead of saying God is in control, let's all practice this one. I'm trying to honor God by being wise in this crisis. I'm trying to honor God by being wise. Listen to me. You don't honor God when you do dumb things. That doesn't honor God. And some of you are like, well, I don't feel like I'm wise. I don't feel like I know what to do. Look, none of us have been in this situation before. James says this, if you need wisdom, which who does, right? I do. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Look, when it comes to God, there's no bad questions. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm telling you, God wants you to think creatively and he wants you to act wisely. Act wisely. So let's just take a moment. Let's just stop. And just right now in your own way, just say, God, I don't know what to do. And just say, God, I need your help. I need wisdom. I need wisdom for my family. I need wisdom for my job. I need wisdom for my future. God, I don't know what to do. And every time I look online or I watch the news, one expert is saying one thing and the next expert says another thing. So God, I need you right now to give me wisdom. Can I just tell you, as your pastor, the thing I'm praying for the most is wisdom. I am not nearly as concerned about getting sick as I am about screwing this church up. That's what I'm concerned about. I have no doubt when this thing is over, there's gonna be lots of people left at Sandals Church. I wanna make sure Sandals Church is left. So I gotta make good decisions. I gotta make smart decisions and I need God's wisdom and you need the same. You need the same. And you need to be thinking, Lord, help me to be wise in this situation. Next, here's what Jesus wants you to know about this dishonest, really knucklehead who got fired by his boss. He wants you, write this down, to connect relationally. Can I just be honest? I'm just gonna come at you. I love you. I care for you, but I'm gonna be real with you, especially if you go to Sandals Church. If you're new and you've never watched me before, this is not to you, okay? You get a get out of jail free card. You're not in trouble. But if you've been going to Sandals Church and I have been begging you, challenging you, imploring you to get in a community group and you have not done it, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Look, you know what Tammy and I were doing last night? Tammy and I made dinner and we drove 30 minutes to deliver food to two senior citizens who've been Christians longer than I've been alive, but they're not connected to a community that can minister to them. Think about that. You see, you can know all the right things and still be very lonely in Christianity. And some of you, you don't have anybody to call, anybody to check up on you. You need friends. And you need friends that are Christians, because you know what Christian friends will do? They'll risk it all to serve you. That's one of the things we're gonna be doing. I don't know how long this thing's gonna be last, but one of the things we're gonna do as a church is we're gonna serve people. We're gonna serve. Okay, COVID-19 doesn't give us permission to not serve people, to not care about people. And we need to do that as Christians. We need to connect relationally. Here's what the dishonest, and in Greek, it actually says unrighteous person said. So he's not righteous. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't follow God. Here's what he says. Ah, I know what I'll do to ensure that I have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. Here's what he's saying. He knows this, that when money runs out, friends don't. When money runs out, friends don't. And some of you are very lonely, and this is your opportunity to get in a community group, to join a group, to start a group, to begin circling around and talking with people and connecting with people, to quit just coming to Sandals Church or watching Sandals Church, but to actually become a part of Sandals Church. When you read Genesis chapter 1, everything's good, everything's good, everything's good. And then God says, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. Can I just say this? Your favorite TV show is not your friend. Your favorite news media host is not your friend. Jesus says, I've called you friends. Here's what Jesus says, that the greatest act is when a friend lays his life down for another. That's the kind of friends God wants us to be, there for each other, no matter what. I know what I'll do. I'm going to make sure I have plenty of friends. Some of you have been living for money, and you've made a ton of money, and you have no real friends. You need to change that. Proverbs 11:30, the seeds of good deeds become a tree of life. A wise person wins friends. If you're smart, you know you need people. And if you're married, that's not enough people. Ecclesiastes says, yeah, two is better than one, but three are even better. You need more friends. You need different friends. You need people who speak into your life. Galatians 6:2 says this, share each other's burdens. You know why? Do you know why all of the shelves are empty in your store? It's not because there's not enough. Look, America doesn't have a starvation problem. We have an obesity problem. We got so much food. We got too much food. The reason the shelves are empty in your store is not because there's a shortage of stuff. It's because there's a shortage of love and friendship. And people are concerned about themselves. Galatians 6:2 says this, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. I was at the grocery store, just getting some stuff that Tammy asked me to get. People are panicking. I mean, it was like NASCAR. People are like, you know, going through the aisles with their shopping carts. And I saw this little old lady who could barely walk, and she only had a few things in her cart. And it was almost like the shopping cart was a walker. And she got up to buy all the few things that she got, a couple of frozen pizzas. And I just can't imagine. You know, the president said people that are 65 and older, you need to shelter at home because you're the most vulnerable. This gal was at least 20, 30 years past 65. Super elderly. And she's confused about how much was charged. She was confused about what to do. And everybody's so focused on themselves, nobody sees an elderly woman who needs some help. And I just went up and I just said, hey, can I help you? Do you not have enough money? I said, I can pay for it. Whatever you need, I'm here to help you. And she was a little startled. You know why? Because nobody does that anymore. I said, how can I help you? And everybody's afraid to touch her. I said, how can I help you? And all it was is she wanted to pay cash because she didn't have a credit card. That was it. And she was confused. Very simple, very easy. And I helped her pay and I counted out her change and I gave it to her. I said, do you need me to help you to a car? And she said, no, thank you. Thank you. And the lady behind the cash register said, that was really sweet. And you know it wasn't. It should have been just really normal. Just really normal. Share each other's burdens. Can I just say this? Some of you right now, the devil is speaking to you, and here's what you're saying. Why is God letting this happen to me? You're making this whole crisis about yourself. It's not about you. It's happening to all of us. Some of us are more affected. Some of us are less affected. But it's not happening to you. That's what the devil does, is he whispers in your ears and he says, you're the only one that's suffering. This is happening to you. We got to share each other's burdens. Here's the last point. And a lot of people struggle with this passage because here's what they can't get. Why would Jesus point to a dishonest manager? Why would he point to an unethical person as somebody that we need to act like? And here's why. They don't read all the way down past the story. So Jesus talks about him. He is repeatedly referred to as the dishonest manager. Look, he got fired for what he did. His owner laughed at him because at least, you know, he's not ethical, but at least he's shrewd. At least he's trying to be smart. Here's how the story ends. Last point, act ethically. Do what's right. A pandemic does not give you the right to steal, to lie, and to cheat. Act ethically. Look at verse 9. Jesus says, here's the lesson. If you're confused, he just told a story. I don't know what to think about this. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. To benefit others and make friends. Can I just say this? What happens if our money at some point is no good? That could happen. You know what is always good? Friends. It's always good. Jesus says, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Here's the shift. Jesus is talking about a tough time on earth, and now all of a sudden, he's talking about eternal life. He says this, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful with large ones. I don't know how big this crisis is going to get, but let me just say this. Human beings and Christians have faced far worse than this. If we can't be faithful in this, we can't be faithful in what God wants to bless us with. He says, but if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest in the greater responsibilities. What did the dishonest manager do? He was skimming from his boss. Then he got fired. And guess what he did? He skimmed more. He stole more. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, then who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Here's what Jesus is saying. If you can't act ethically now when you're under stress, God is not going to bless you in heaven. It's not going to happen. So what that means is I, Matt Brown, can't just think about Matt Brown. I have to think about my family, our church, our city, our state, the world. I can't just make it about me. I have to act ethically. And if you are not faithful with other people's things, then why should you be trusted with your own? Wow. Can I just say this? Everything you think is yours is loaned to you by God. You say, well, I earned it. I made it. No, no, no. You only earn what God gave you the ability to earn, and you only make what God gave you the creative ability to make. It's all his. It's all on loan from him. Here's what he's saying. If you want something of your own forever, then you need to be faithful with what he's blessed you with here and now. You need to be faithful. Some of you have never noticed this, and you've been a Christian your whole life. You know what the very next verse is? The very next verse. You cannot serve two masters. Because in the end, you will love one and hate the other. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. You see, the dirty rascal, the dishonest manager, he lived his whole life about money. And because of that, in the end, he got fired. Now, Jesus says, look, I got to give it to this guy. He's dishonest. He's unrighteous, but at least he's creative. At least he's shrewd. And he says, hey, Christians, you need to be creative and you need to be crude, not crude. You need to be creative. You need to be wise, but you need to not be like him in the other ways. You need to be ethical. You need to do what's right. And here's why. I know this is a crisis and some of you are very, very worried about what's going to happen. Here's what we really need to worry about is standing before God one day. Because most of us are going to live a long time through this, and we're going to forget about how we acted during COVID-19. We're going to forget about all that. But nothing is forgotten in heaven. And it's all written in books, And one day you'll stand before God. And you will have forgotten about COVID-19. And God says, you remember that time you stole propane from 7-Eleven? Remember that time you stole toilet paper? You stole toilet paper and you already had 6 rolls at home, but the person behind you had none? Remember that time when you bought 6 crates of eggs and you don't even like eggs? The family behind you, they didn't know what they were going to do for food the next 5 days. And here's what the Bible says. For we must all stand before Christ and be judged, and we will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. One day, you and I will stand before Jesus. Look, if you're not a Christian, you won't be able to stand. No one can stand before the holy, almighty, all-powerful, and all-perfect God. But listen to me, if you're a Christian, you will be able to stand because of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation means death. You're not going to die, but you will be judged. And you will stand before an almighty God and be held accountable for how you lived. So let's live ethically. Let's act ethically. Let's connect together. Let this moment be the moment where we actually become who God's called us to be. And so I just want to end with 2 things, 2 challenges. For those of you who can give, continue to give. Sandals Church is just like any other business. We're not a business, we're a family business. And I know some of you are struggling. If you can't give, don't give. And we want to be able to reach out and minister to you if you find yourself in a time of need. Let us know. But if you can give, give. This is not a time to hoard. This is a time to be generous. You need to really pray about this parable. And then next, I just want to invite you into worship. Look, you got plenty of time. You can Netflix later. You can watch a movie later. You can do all kinds of things for the rest of the day, but this is your moment right now to gather with your church and to worship. To worship. It's always been my dream to have 500 church campuses. That was my dream. Somebody DM'd me last week on Instagram and said, Pastor Matt, right now there are 500 churches and more all over the world. There are people gathering with us right now from almost every continent, every country on earth, and they want to worship with you, one church in many locations, worshiping the one true God. So don't miss this opportunity. Don't click off. And even if you're not musical and you're not a singer, just sit and listen as we sing together as one church to the one true God. I love you. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. So I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Thank you.
of God. I know that that is truth that many of us needed today, that we're not slaves, not to fear, not to anxiety, not to the unknown. And that is why, Sandals Church, we are so glad and grateful that you joined us this week, because we needed to be reminded of this truth that I know many of us needed.
Yeah, these are challenging and uncertain times, and we want you to know that we are here for you.
And if you need prayer for any reason, please let us know. You can send us a message at hello@sandalschurch.com. And just know that just because we're not present with each other does not mean that we can't have a presence in each other's lives. And that's what we want to do here as a church for you every single day this week. That's why we're going to have weekly programming, and daily, actually, every single day at live.sandalschurch.tv.
So be sure to check it all out. Spread the word, and we're so excited to see you back here next week.